Once again, time for Health First. Alan Wishart sitting in this week for Kathy Hart. Got a great show scheduled, but we're going to get things started as usual with the Health First news.
Maine has become the 8th state to legalize medically assisted suicide. Under the law, doctors can prescribe a lethal dose of a drug to terminally ill patients, and it will not be legally a suicide. The bill had failed to pass in a state referendum and also a number of times in the state legislature. It finally passed by one vote in the House and a narrow margin in the Senate. The new law was praised by Stacey Fowler, who took on the fight for the law in honor of her friend Rebecca Van Wormer, an Associated Press reporter. Van Wormer died of breast cancer in 2017 and had pressed for such a law for years before her death. In a new round of testing, the nonprofit watchdog Environmental Working Group found the weed killer glyphosate in all 21 cereals and snack products it sampled. Glyphosate is the main ingredient in Bayer Monsanto's weed killer Roundup. Monsanto took exception to the report and says its products contain safe levels of the chemical, well below federal limits. The FDA in the United States says its standard safe level of glyphosate ranges from 0.1 parts per million to 310 ppm. Co-author of the new report, EWG toxicologist and PhD Alex Temkin, says the product meets the regulatory standards set by the Federal Environment Protection Agency, but EWG believes the Fed's tolerance limits are too high to adequately protect children's health. Fecal transplants, transferring fecal matter from a healthy person into an ill person with a compromised microbiome, is an increasingly used new treatment for a variety of ills. But on Thursday, federal health officials in the U.S. announced that a patient died after such a procedure, highlighting the potential for severe infections linked to fecal transplants. In an agency news release, director of the Center of Biologics Evaluation and Research at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Peter Marks, said after reports of serious antibiotic-resistant infections linked to the procedures, the FDA wants to alert all healthcare professionals who administer FMT about this potential serious risk so they can inform their patients. Fecal microbiota transplant is a still experimental procedure as yet unapproved by the FDA. It's been primarily used to treat serious infections of antibiotic-resistant forms of Clostridium difficile bacterium. And finally, reacting to an ongoing measles outbreak, New York State has eliminated the religious exemption for not vaccinating children. The Associated Press reports most school systems require proof of vaccination to allow a child to attend class, but by claiming their religion doesn't allow vaccinations, parents could duck the requirement. Not everyone is happy about the new law. Parents of hundreds of unvaccinated kids protested in Albany, claiming the law violates religious freedom. Those who supported the bill say religion shouldn't trump science. In 1905, the U.S. Supreme Court said states can enforce vaccination laws.
And we are back, and our first guest is Dr. Murdoch Kalaghi. He is a clinician and writer, has published several health and wellness books on prevention of problems, and been featured on just about all the major networks, as well as CNN, with a focus on making complex health topics understandable and engaging. And these days, Dr. Kalaghi, it seems like they don't get much more complex than cannabidiol or CBD and opioids. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for calling in.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and you're absolutely right. CBD is everywhere, and there's a lot of good information out there, but there's a lot of false information and rumors, too, and I appreciate that you want to take the opportunity to try and clarify some of those.
Okay, now, I guess the first thing is hemp, which is what some people still think of when they think of it, or CBD almost becoming this generation's magic bullet, like the equivalent of penicillin as being like a cure-all for everything?
That's a fantastic question. So you mentioned hemp and CBD, and just to help distinguish those, CBD, or cannabidiol, is an endocannabinoid, meaning it can stimulate a system that we all have in our bodies. We all have receptors for endocannabinoids. We are built that way. And marijuana helps stimulate those receptors and cause a lot of those effects that people experience with marijuana. Maybe it be reducing nausea, stimulating appetite, some of the psychoactive effects, relaxation, and pain relief. Marijuana also contains CBD. Now, marijuana's effects are primarily due to THC, which has a lot of the psychoactive effects, and then CBD, which has a lot of the pain-reducing, anxiety-calming or relaxation effects and benefits on sleep and inflammation. Now, CBD has therefore gotten a lot of skepticism and concern because it's in marijuana. And a lot of people associate CBD with marijuana. But as you point out, there's another source of CBD, and that's hemp. And so you can actually extract CBD, and from all that we can tell, the CBD extracted from hemp is fairly comparable to the CBD that's in marijuana, except it's from a substance that's completely legal, hemp, in all 50 states. And that CBD, it does not appear to have any of the psychoactive or addictive effects that marijuana does, and so some people have concerns around marijuana. Now, to focus on your question, is it the modern-day silver bullet? We're finding that it has a lot of benefits. We're finding that it can help reduce pain. We're finding that it can help reduce anxiety, and it can help improve sleep. Now, if you don't deal with any of those problems, well, then that may not be beneficial for you. But if you do, and you take CBD, and you find that benefit, well, then absolutely, then it could be something very beneficial for you. And a lot of research is supporting that for subsets of the population, they can experience that benefit.
Now, so you can extract the CBD from either hemp or marijuana. Is one of them easier to extract it from? So is one of them easier for scientists and technicians to work with?
That's a great question. In terms of extraction, I don't think there's a big difference. We've gotten pretty good at getting it from either source. We've gotten pretty good at getting it from hemp, as with marijuana. The benefit of extracting it from hemp is pretty much a regulatory issue, that it doesn't have that, first, the stigma that comes with coming from marijuana. The second, the regulatory issues that come from marijuana. And while many states have legalized marijuana use, either medically or additionally recreationally, many states have not. And there's still regulatory issues from a federal perspective. So the benefit of getting it from hemp is you just avoid those. And so CBD derived from hemp is currently legal in all 50 states.
So now, is there still a bit of a perception problem for people where they just hear CBD and the first thing most people still think of is marijuana? They don't realize that there's a good chance it's from hemp.
Absolutely. I mean, what does CBD stand for? It stands for cannabidiol, which cannabidiol, what does that sound like? Cannabis, marijuana. So it absolutely has that stigma. And so people who want to avoid anything that they perceive as an illicit substance, a drug, anything associated with marijuana, if they're not informed and don't realize that CBD can be derived from hemp, a non-psychoactive, completely legal, non-addictive plant, then yes, that stigma still exists. And so it's fortunate that there's a lot more information is getting out there in the form of FDA panels, websites, and radio shows like your own, so people become more informed.
Now, so there's a fair bit of misinformation and confusion possibly about CBD. Does the same apply still to opioids, or are people starting to be able to wrap their head a little bit better around what opioids are and what they do?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know the distinction. If they're not users, what's the difference of one drug over another? And they're all drugs, and is CBD a drug? So this is an opportunity to clarify that. So opiates, which are now the leading cause of accidental death in the United States, they surpassed motor vehicle accidents a few years ago, have a huge problem, because for decades now, our best treatment for pain in clinical settings has been opiates. You have pain, you have surgery, you need that treated, you break a bone, you have a kidney stone, give you opiates to treat that pain. The problem is opiates are highly addictive. And so once you're addicted, once you've had them for a certain amount of time, you need them just to function. Otherwise, you go through withdrawals. And unfortunately, you need escalating higher and higher amounts. And you get to a high enough amount, you know, one thing opiates do is they're also sedating. They decrease your breathing. And so if you take a high enough amount, then you stop breathing and you stop living. And that's why it's such an unfortunate cause of an overdose. CBD, which you know, derived from hemp, but even in marijuana, either way, it doesn't have the CBD specifically does not seem to demonstrate those addictive effects. And what I mean is, it's been researched to see the way addiction occurs is your body physiologically adjusts to the substance it's taking by down-regulating the number of receptors for that substance. That's what happens when you take opiates and why you have to take higher amounts. Fortunately, with CBD, they've done some studies to see, are the receptors for CBD, those endocannabinoid receptors, do they down-regulate in response to CBD? And they don't appear to, which what we see clinically is people, when they find the right dose for them, do not seem to require escalating higher amounts. And when they come off it, do not seem to experience excessive withdrawal effects. So it doesn't seem to have that addictive potential like drugs or other illicit substances.
Now, what is the difference between opiates and opioids? Because opioids are what we keep hearing there's an epidemic of.
Oh, yeah, they're synonymous, essentially. Different terms for same thing. Opiates and opioids are overall a class of drugs that cover a lot of different drugs, ranging from prescription drugs like Vicodin and Percocet, oxycodone, hydrocodone, to street drugs like heroin. They all are considered opioids, which stimulate opiate receptors in our body although that same physiological mechanism where those opiate receptors then downregulate and you have the withdrawal effects and you need higher and higher amounts. So they all cover the same class.
Okay, so now there has been, for obvious reasons, the number of deaths and everything from opioid epidemic. So have scientists from all different sort of areas been looking at ways that they might be able to help people deal with this crisis?
Absolutely. There's been such an advance in just the last few years of regulations and funding to try and address this crisis in many different ways, whether it be from dealing with it on the prescription end, because most opiate addiction now starts from prescription, about three-quarters of it. From the prescription end, are there ways we can reduce the number of prescriptions, manage better, so there's much better tracking by regulatory bodies of prescriptions? But then also on the treatment end. Now, what makes CBD as exciting is the other avenue that's been really researched is what caused this in the first place, which is pain. People don't get an opiate prescription just to say, hey, here, have a good day. It's because they're having some sort of painful condition. And so if we have better therapies for pain, then we can potentially further decrease the number of opiate prescriptions. And unfortunately, you know, our therapies for pain were pretty limited. We've had anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, or naproxen, which is Aleve, or we had Tylenol, and just not very strong therapies, and they come with side effects. Anti-inflammatories can be hard on the gut, the kidneys. Tylenol can be hard on the liver. So that's what makes CBD really exciting, and part of the reason there's been more research there is it seems to have an anti-inflammatory component and can reduce pain, but we're not seeing yet a lot of harmful effects on other organs like the gut, liver, and kidneys. And actually, there's been some recent research where they've used CBD as an adjunct therapy to help people who are already addicted to opiates to break free from that addiction, to decrease their opiate need. And there were some positive results. So not only can CBD potentially be used to help decrease opiate prescription initially for pain, but maybe it can be useful to treat once someone's become addicted to opiates.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about that because there was a recent study on CBD and opioids, and we'll be back with that on Health First.